Welcome to Ridgecrest Baptist. We thank you for listening. Now, here is this week's message.
Now, with that having been said, let's get into our message today. We know that in our world today that people can be kind of skeptical, can't they? It's almost like they're all from Missouri, and I don't mean anything derogatory for the people who are from Missouri, but they have a name for themselves that to call themselves the Show Me State. They want to see more than just words. They want to see action, and that's not a bad thing. We live in a world that is skeptical. 2,000 years ago, the world was skeptical. They wanted to see more than just hear words. The words could be great. They wanted more than just hearing about the ways that God was working. They wanted to see God at work in people. And in our text today, you're going to find in the 19th chapter of Luke, you're going to find that God moved in a miraculous way that shook the people of that day. In doing it, impacted all the people around that saw and what God had done to literally change a person completely. It's interesting when you read this because the story in our text today is one that you're very familiar with. It's one that you probably one of the first Bible stories that you heard as a little child. It's the story of Zacchaeus. But the center of this event and the center of that message is not really Zacchaeus. In the Bible stories we had growing up, everything seemed to center around him. But he's not the center of that story. The Pharisees that were going along the road are not the center of that story. The Pharisees were skeptical. They were skeptical of Jesus. They were skeptical, very much so, that anything could be done in Zacchaeus' life to change him. They were very skeptical. But they are not the center of that story. There were large crowds there along the road leading to Jerusalem. They also were skeptical people. They had heard a lot about all that had been taking place just up the road a ways. They had probably heard about blind Bartimaeus being given his sight. They had heard about what had happened there, but they were skeptical. They wanted to see if God could really change a life. Their skepticism was evident in there. But this large crowd was not the center of the story. No, the center of the story is Jesus Christ. Jesus himself. He is the one who is the center, really, of many of the people's skepticism. They wanted to know if Jesus is truly Messiah. They wanted to know if he could truly change lives. And you know why they wanted to know that? Because they wanted to know if Jesus could change their heart and change their life. They wanted to know if Jesus could be the answer for the needs of their heart. They wanted to know if Jesus could be the one that could remove the guilt from their life, that would literally change them from the emptiness and the loneliness and the guilt that they were facing every day. They wanted to know if Jesus was real. They wanted to know if he could change lives. We look around today, and I dare say there are many people in our world who are wondering, many people in our nation who are wondering, can Jesus really change a life? They want to see if in your heart and in your life, what you profess with your mouth is being lived out through your actions. They want to see if Jesus is real in you, or if we're just another religion, or just another good set of values that we're trying to follow. They won't know if you're real or fake. Jesus came to town. Now, you know the story. I don't have to tell you. But I want to say this. when Jesus comes into a life, that life, if he genuinely comes, that life is forever changed to never be the same again. Now, having said that, there is no reason for skepticism in your heart and in my heart if we have truly been changed and impacted by Jesus Christ. Now, the question is, the change that we have experienced, can we relay that? Can we live that? Can we share that in such a way that people see the reality of Jesus in and through our lives? Well, when Jesus comes to town, the answer is yes. When Jesus comes to town, things begin to happen. Now, let me say this. This event takes place about a week before the crucifixion. Jesus is coming to Jerusalem, and he is being greeted by the people. They're lining the ways, not necessarily for any other reason than it's coming up to Passover, and the people really want to know about this Jesus. You're going to see them in a day or so. You're going to see them shouting their hallelujahs, shouting their hosannas, laying palm branches in the street, Jesus riding a borrowed donkey, them proclaiming him as Lord. You're going to see them coming in such a way that the Pharisees, the religious leaders of that day, will try to silence the people. They'll try to tell Jesus, hey, make them be quiet. And Jesus will say, if they don't shout, even the rocks themselves will shout the hosannas. Because Jesus is coming to town. Now let me say here, Jesus is in town. Jesus is in this room. Jesus is in this place. And he is here to change and to impact, to totally alter your life, to meet your need, to touch you, and make you so you will never, ever be the same again. Well, you know the story of Zacchaeus. You know that he was a short man, the Bible tells us. You know also in Luke 19, verses 1 through 10, rather than me read that scripture, let me just share with you the truths of that. Read that later, the story of Zacchaeus. But you notice that in the text that he is a short man. He is a tax collector. The term that's used often in that day and time, for one, they didn't call him tax collector, they called him publican. He was also one, because he was a tax collector, he was one that was regarded by the Jewish people there, especially the religious leaders, as a sinner. And that was a kind way of saying what they really thought about him. The Jewish religious leaders, the Jewish people, thought that Zacchaeus was lower than even the Samaritan, the half-Jew, that the Jews enjoyed calling a dog. They thought that the publican, tax collector, was lower than them. But here he was. He worked for the Roman government, taking money from the Jewish people, paying them for them to pay taxes. The general way that a tax collector collected his wages in that day, he had a certain amount of taxes that he had, revenue that he had to turn in that he gathered from the people. And then whatever else he could get from the people became his salary. And so he was allowed to tax as much as he could get, to get as much from the people as he possibly could. Sometimes by coercion, sometimes by trickery, sometimes by intimidation, sometimes by outright thievery. But he was, but that's how he made his living. You'll notice from the text, that Zacchaeus was a wealthy man. He had been very successful in the tax collecting business. He was as the scripture said, very wealthy, very rich. And the people knew that most of that riches, most of those riches that he had received, were ill-gotten. They were gotten from the people, many of the of whom could not afford that kind of taxation on them. So Zacchaeus, in the crowd, had a desire. He wanted to see Jesus. Now, we don't know why. I'll get to that in a moment. But we don't know why. But he wanted to see Jesus. And being short in stature, and with the crowds certainly not wanting him anywhere around them, they were certainly not going to let him get through. They were not going to let him have any kind of special place at all. So he finds a sycamore tree. The NIV says a sycamore fig tree, and that's probably a better designation of it. And he runs to that sycamore fig tree. He climbs up in that tree, gets up there as high as he can, will be over the crowd so that he could see Jesus when he comes. The Bible tells us in verse 5 of Luke 19 that when Jesus came up to that area under that tree, that he looked up and he saw Zacchaeus. That was a perceiving look. That's number one. That was a perceiving look. There was something special about that look of Jesus. I can almost see Zacchaeus as he was up in that tree. He wanted to see Jesus, but he didn't necessarily want Jesus to see him. You follow me? He wanted to see Jesus, but he didn't want Jesus to see him. He wanted to observe Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus. Are you real? Jesus, are you genuine? Jesus, are you one who can meet the needs that people say that you can? Now, Zacchaeus had undoubtedly heard of Jesus. He may have even been in the background when Jesus healed Bartimaeus of his blindness. We don't know. But he had certainly heard of Jesus. And he had within his heart and within his mind that Jesus, if he is what he says that he is, if he is what people say that he is, then I need him in my life. Zacchaeus was one who had been rejected. He was one that had no friends, in all likelihood, unless it was other tax collectors. But Zacchaeus may have heard something about Jesus. That Jesus loved even the tax collectors. That Jesus cared for even the tax collectors. That Jesus maybe could do something even for the tax collectors. Maybe he had heard of Matthew, another tax collector, who was now a disciple of Jesus. And maybe he was thinking, well, if Jesus is genuine and if he is real, then maybe this same Jesus accepted Zacchaeus, maybe he can meet the needs of my life, my loneliness, dealing with people who hate me, my guilt and my sin. I tried to cover it up. Maybe he can fill the void that's in my life. That I have found that even though I have great wealth, I'm empty inside. And then Jesus looked at Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus recognized that Jesus was not just observing a man up in the tree, but that Jesus was looking to the very soul of that man. And Zacchaeus had to say, "He sees me." But more than that, he sees everything about me. There's something about the gaze of Jesus. There's something about the look of Jesus. When he looks into our hearts and looks into our life, they go beyond the outward appearance and he looks at us and sees us as we really are. Psalm 94:9 says, "Does he who formed the eye not see?" Proverbs 15:3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good." Let me tell you what Zacchaeus saw there. He saw the same thing that we have seen in our life, that you may be seeing today. That when we encounter God in our life, that God sees all, He knows all, He knows all about us, He knows our every beauty mark that we have, and listen, He knows every wart that we have as well. He knows all about us. He knows our strong points, and He knows our weaknesses. He knows the good intentions of our heart and the good actions of our heart, and He knows the sins that we commit. He knows all about us. He sees us. He sees to the very heart of who we are. And Zacchaeus had to say, "Whoa. He sees me." And it was more than just a man in a tree. Zacchaeus had to say, "My heart is convicted. I'm not worthy to even look upon this man who sees me." There was that perceiving look. And with that, because of that, there was that pervasive light. That's number two there. There was that pervasive light. Not only did he say, "He sees me, he knows me." You see, Jesus looked up at Zacchaeus. And he said, called him by name. He said, "Zacchaeus." Now the name Zacchaeus, I don't know if you know this or not, but in the Jewish, in the Hebrew language, the name Zacchaeus means pure. But Zacchaeus realized he was anything but pure. And yet Jesus looked at him and called him by name. And I can almost see Zacchaeus almost losing grip there on the tree and maybe almost falling out. And saying, "How do you know my name?" Or thinking it. "How do you know who I am?" And realizing that Jesus not only saw him, but Jesus saw something, I want you to get this, saw something of potential goodness in him. All the world around Zacchaeus was calling him a thief. Everyone was calling him no good. The religious leaders were calling him a traitor because he was working for Rome, and he himself was a Jew, a son of Abraham, as the Bible will tell you in this text. So he's being called traitor. He'd be calling a thief, a robber. He was a disgrace. He was not accepted into the temple. Think about that. A Jewish man. He was ostracized. People would not even walk down the street with him. Everyone avoided him. And yet Jesus looked at him, called him by name, and acknowledged, I think, in that calling him by name, the meaning of that name. He saw in Zacchaeus the potential for purity. He saw in Zacchaeus the potential coming out of that guilt and that loneliness and coming into life. He saw the potential for Zacchaeus to go from the darkness of where he was into the light of Christ. He looks up to him and says, "Zacchaeus." Can I say this today? Here in this room, as the Holy Spirit works in his heart and in your heart and in the heart of each and every one here, Jesus is calling you by name. And he sees potential in your life. You may be thinking, well, I'm not much good. You may be thinking, I'm getting old and useless. You may be thinking, nobody likes me. You may be thinking that everyone kind of avoids me. Let me tell you something. Jesus calls you by name. Because Jesus knows you. And Jesus, and I want you to get this, Jesus does not dwell on your past. Other people do. Jesus looks at your future. He looks at where you can be. He looks at where He wants to take you. He looks at where you are, what you can become. He looks at how He can be glorified through your name and through your life. Jesus looks at you, and Jesus knows you to light up your life so that Jesus can be glorified through your life. It's a pervasive light. What I mean by pervasive means it's all encompassing. It meets the need of any person, regardless of where they are. You see, there was not a person on that whole roadside who was probably more hated and more lonely and more ostracized and a bigger sinner than Zacchaeus was. And if Jesus can change Zacchaeus' life, and you're going to see that He does, if He can change Zacchaeus' life, He can change your life here today. It's a pervasive light. It's one that is open to all who will call upon the name of the Lord. It's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's a pervasive light. But then it goes one step further. You'll find also not only the perceiving look and the pervasive light, but there's also that perfect love. Jesus looked up at him and said, Zacchaeus. This is Headley's translation here. But He said, Zacchaeus, get down here immediately. Right now, you come down. I'm going to your house today. I am going to fellowship with you. I am going to be your friend, your best friend you've ever had. I'm going to be your Savior. I'm going to be your Lord. Zacchaeus, you come down. Now, my two little granddaughters, I heard them sing this just a couple of weeks ago, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, you know the song? And they get to that point where Jesus looked up and said, Zacchaeus, you come down. They get real, bossy at that point. They get to the point where they say, Zacchaeus, you get down out of that tree, for I'm going to your house today. Now, they probably got that from their parents, who probably got it from their parents, because David and Angie, when they were little, they did it the same way. But that wasn't the attitude of Jesus. He wasn't fussing at Zacchaeus. He was looking at Zacchaeus with love and saying, Zacchaeus, I accept you just as you are, so that I can make you what you ought to be. Will you hear me today? Jesus wants to accept you right where you are, right this minute. He loves you. And He wants to make you what you were created to be. The Bible tells us that Zacchaeus, probably for the first time in his life, he experienced what true, genuine, real love is really all about. He saw that love of Jesus was genuine. He saw that it was the love of Jesus that made all the difference in the world. Because it's in that love of Jesus he saw that Jesus was genuine. Is in that love that he saw that this was not just religion as the Pharisees were practicing. It was not just a national thing of trying to see miracles and to see the big shows as the crowd was looking at. But this love showed that Jesus was genuine. Now I want you to put that into your heart, and I want you to seal it in there and never let it go. It's the love of Jesus in you that will prove the genuineness of your faith. You get it? It's the love of Jesus in you that will prove the genuineness of your faith. What did Zacchaeus do? Jesus told him, you come down now right now. You come down immediately. He jumped down. He came down immediately. And he welcomed Jesus to his home. But that wasn't all that he did. Notice the change in his heart. The love that Jesus had shown him so radically changed Zacchaeus that Zacchaeus said to him, Lord, Lord, I right now commit to give half of all my wealth to the poor. Those that I have been robbing, those that I have been taking from, those that I have been persecuting, I'm going to give half of all my wealth to the poor. Furthermore, if I have cheated anyone or stolen from anyone, he said, if I've done anything to anybody else, I'm going to repay them fourfold. That's four times what he had stolen from them. Now, if he was as big a thief as the people seemed to think that he was, as he probably was, he gave half to the poor, the rest of everything he had, he was giving back to those that he had taken from. He was saying, and I want you to get this, he was saying, Lord, my whole life is starting over from scratch. Now think about that for a moment. Lord, you've forgiven me. You've given me a new life. You've given me peace. You've given me that companionship. You've given me salvation. My whole life is starting anew, not just spiritually, but I'm starting my whole life over. My actions are going to be different. I'm going to live for Jesus. When the perfect love of Jesus shines through the imperfect person of who we are, the change in our life is so impactful. It is so vivid. It is so life-changing that the world around us cannot help but look upon our life and they see Jesus. And when they see the love of Jesus coming through us, they know that Jesus is real. And they know that your faith is genuine. And they know that salvation is possible for them because they've seen the change in your life. Now, having said all of that and shared this story that all of you have heard all your life, let me say this. Jesus is looking upon us right now. It's a perceiving look. He sees us right where we really are. He sees beyond the mask and the facades and all the pictures and things that we, images we try to propose to the world. He sees us as we really are. Jesus knows the need of your heart. He knows the sin that needs forgiven. He knows the loneliness that needs to be filled with His presence. He knows the need of your heart and life. But here's the beautiful part. He sees us as we are, yet He loves us. He loves you. And He's calling you to respond to Him just as Zacchaeus did. He's calling to you to accept Him as Lord and Savior of your life. He's calling for you to let His light shine through you. Let His love shine through you. You need to respond. You need to take that invitation, this invitation, and make the decision that Christ is leading you to make. For some of you, it may mean coming for salvation. For others of you, it may mean coming and recommitting your life to the Lord Jesus. For some of you, it may mean coming and uniting with this fellowship if that's what God's will is for you. But listen to me. The crowd that's gathered here today, you're not here by accident. God has brought you here. God had this message for you. And God wants to touch and change your life through this message. So however God is speaking to you, however He is working in your heart, you respond to Him with faith, with humility, with a commitment of your life to the Lord Jesus. Would you do that? Let's stand together and you step out and make your decision.
We hope this message will help you in your spiritual walk and growth. For more about Ridgecrest, please visit us on the web at www.rbc-tuscaloosa.com. Have a great day, and God bless.